Morning, Nitfano. How are we this morning? Great. I'm not sure I gave the right reading this morning, but that's okay. It's no wonder it didn't make sense when I said from verse 12. My apologies. We'll get there. It's going to be one of those mornings, I can tell. I just loved the worship this morning, the sense of just acknowledging who God is this morning. Like, it's really important when we come together, isn't it, that we acknowledge that it's about Him. He is the one that we come around, and anything we say and do comes out of that. Last week I did part A. This week I'm going to do part B. And look at those circles. Good effort, Carson. Good job. So we're talking about our vision and some of those statements that we hold true to. And those of you who were here last week, you won't need chocolate to let me know that you remembered what we talked about. But there are three statements that we acknowledge that this is who we are as a body. And the first statement is, of course, everyone will shout it out because they'll know it so well. The first thing is that we are... Yes. And what are we as disciples doing? We are following Jesus. The other thing that we are is we are a... You all sound so excited about it. What are we? Community. We love being part of the family. Come on, Eeyore. Get out of here. Sorry, my apologies. That should have been an inside thought. Community, and we are forming communities. Oh, spell it right. Community. And that involves not just this community, but every space we inhabit, we are forming a sense of community, whether it's be at work, at school, at whatever it is that we are, as part of a hockey team or a rugby team, Dan, or as part of any of those things that we are a part of these days, that we are forming community by the way that we treat one another. And the one that we're going to major on today is that we're on a mission. It's more than just hanging out together. There's something greater about us being together. We've actually got a sense of purpose, and that whole purpose is what? I paid Julia to make sure she knew what it was. Thank you, Julia. Your chocolate bar's in my drawer. Actually, last week after dishing out chocolate, Liddy came up to me and she says, I didn't get my chocolate for dishing out the chocolate. And I said, there's one with your name on it. Unfortunately, I ate it on Thursday. On a mission, transforming cities. And we'll dig into that a little bit further as we go on. And last week, we talked around the whole sense of us being on this discipleship journey. And one of the quotes that I used was from Mike Breen, where he says that we don't want people to understand forgiveness or prayer or mission or justice only intellectually. But we want people who can forgive. We want people who can forgive, who can hear and respond to God, who actually know Him. We want people who have hearts that break for our world and the people in it. We want the kind of people in our communities who resemble the people that we see in Scripture. And that's from Mike Breen in his book about having a discipling culture. So we talked about that discipleship journey. We talked about what it is that we need to be intentional about it. We talked around not just about knowing about, but knowing God. It's about us living the dream, not just dreaming the dream. It's all very well for have this in our mind. And so often we get to that space of going, it's going to be okay, all good, because at the end of the day, we will go to heaven to be with Jesus. But actually Jesus says, no, I want heaven to be now. We're going to live the dream, not just dream the dream. We're not waiting for the dream. We are the dream. And so we talked around that's being on that discipleship journey. And then we talked around being community, and I used the imagery of when I took a few of the interns and others up the hill to Rangawahia. and how, as different examples of how we cared for one another, how someone carried somebody's bag, how we waited for people, how we cared for people, how they waited for the old man at the back to catch up occasionally so he could catch his breath, how we welcomed the stranger even though it scared the living daylights out of us, stopped what we were doing, and Tessa offered them a cup of tea. So all those things about being community, and we can do all those things in the different spaces that we are. Welcome, Chloe. It's okay. Sorry, I should. If it wasn't Chloe, my daughter, I wouldn't have said that. But that's about us being a community, and that's a huge part of who we are. And that's not just about thinking about being a community, it's actually being it. And it's one of the strengths of the All Saints Parish is that in the different spaces that we inhabit, that we actually look after each other pretty well. Doesn't mean that we've got some growing to do and some things we want to put in place around that whole space. But we want to be that level of community. We want to be those people who are joined together, and as we share the peace, we acknowledge that we are family. We are whānau. With that comes a commitment of knowing that we actually have to look after each other. You have to put up with me because I'm your brother or grandfather, as some people might say. But that's part of who we are, isn't it? And sometimes I don't always get on with my family. I remember a story of, I've probably shared it before, when I was as a teenager and my next brother up, David, we were coming home from school one day and I grabbed a piece of walnut tree that had fallen on the ground and I whipped them around the legs and I chased off to mum and said, "David's trying to get me!" And he got growled at. We didn't always see eye to eye. But I do appreciate the fact that before he passed away as part of a car accident, that we actually managed to reconcile our relationship. And we ended up going to the same youth group together and actually being touched by God. But that's part of who community is, isn't it? We don't always get on, but we're committed to being the family. Sorry, that was last week's sermon. I'll carry on. But the reality is that we are also on a mission together. We are called to live outside ourselves. If we only live about being in community, we will be this nice, fuzzy, lovely little family group of community that will never impact anyone. But actually, as the church, we are called, and the scripture this morning was supposed to be around the Great Commission, that we are to go and make disciples. And my fault. I own it. But that's what we want to do. We want to be a people who go and make disciples. We want a people who impact in our world. We want to be a people who have something or recognize what we have so that we can give it to those people around us. Because we're on a mission. And the whole mission is around being transforming, and we're talking about transforming cities. But the first thing we need to realize is that when you meet Jesus, it's a transformational thing. If you are not transformed when you meet Jesus, I've got a few questions. Because when we meet Jesus, it transforms us. Remember the story of a little man who climbed a tree because he couldn't see Jesus? What was his name? I didn't want to say it because some people say Zacchaeus and some people say Zacchaeus. You know, I didn't want to get into that argument. But there he was, climbing the tree to see Jesus. Jesus stopped by him, and what did he do? He said, "Hey, mate, how's it going? I'm coming to tea tonight." Zacchaeus was completely transformed. And what did that look like? What did it look like? Yeah. And he gave away. And he shared. And he invited. He was completely transformed from the inside out. That's what we're after. And all of us have had some form of that, of being transformed by the love of God. When I first came to recognize that I knew I wanted to be a follower of Jesus, I was very, very young. So the transformation didn't feel as big. And I remember we used to go to, I was living in Ashurst, part of an Ashurst youth group at that stage, and we used to go across to Woodville and do outreaches, and we would We would give out food and we would speak to people, and a few people would tell their stories. We did song and drama and lots of stuff. This was way back in the... Thank you. Back in the olden days. And I said to my youth group leader, I don't have a story. Because, like, I haven't done drugs and I haven't, you know, like all that stuff. I didn't walk away from God. And it wasn't until actually God actually told me, says, you've got one of the best stories there is. Because you've always remained faithful in that space. And God was very gracious to me through many, many years that he held me in spaces where it had been really, really easy for me to step away. But there is something transformational about touching and meeting Jesus. Zacchaeus was completely changed. And there are many stories, and I don't have time to go through them all, or we'll be here until the 5 p.m. service, and that would make them grumpy. But we are about a sense of transformation. And we are saying that we want to transform cities, and so we have to acknowledge the fact that actually as part of All Saints, we we bring a sense of transformation and restoration and life to people that they then take somewhere else. And if you look, I've been here for 6.5 years or near about, and in that 6.5 years, numbers and numbers of people have come and gone. And you know, most of them have been for really good reasons. There's been very few who've caused a huff because I've said something that I shouldn't have, or Nigel preached something that was heretical, and they've stormed off in a huff. We've had a few interesting conversations, and that's good. That's, you know, they're worthy conversations. But actually, I think of Sahayams and the Basantis who went to Tauranga as part of jobs, as part of serving Nigel, as part of doing the work there. They came and got built up here. They came and grew here. They came and were transformed by Jesus, but they then go to another city to bring the life of Jesus there. We think of the Unwins who've moved to Wellington. And actually, I think of others who have moved into Palmerston North and come and joined us in that time. And they and you are people of life for us. It's part of that transformation. The number of leaders we've had who have come and been restored in this place and then moved on. When Tim and Kay, and I'm sure he won't mind me saying this, when Tim and Kay came here, like Tim started and then 2 weeks later, or it might have been even the week later, we went into lockdown with COVID. He became our Facebook friend and he did all the stuff online for us. But he came from a situation that he was kind of didn't know what to do. He was a little bit broken and tired and worn out from a previous role. And then he came and he managed to find life with us. He was transformed, and then he goes, and now he is leading the church in Nelson. And Tim and I meet together online fairly regularly, and we pray together, and we talk about stuff, and we encourage one another, and he's doing really well. It's probably a baby. Oh, not on the phone. So that's what we want to be about. We want to be a part of that. So when we look at last year, we did growing leaders. We want to grow leaders, not just for ourselves. We want to be outward looking. We want to be able to grow people so that they can be good in every space they find. And if that means that people grow and have an opportunity to be leaders in a space, but then go and serve in another place, even Wellington, or somewhere else, then that's what we're about. Because it's not about trying to hold and build our own empire. It's about the kingdom of God, which is open-handed, which is looking outwards, which is growing. And there's a sense of this incredible transformation and growth that we're looking at. And as part of our strategy in that whole thing of being missional is that we want to, and David Rowe, when he was here, talked to us around having God conversations. And you know what? That was transformational for me, and it's changed the way I look at people, because I'm always now looking for an opportunity. And I'm rubbish at it, but I'm looking. So look for God conversations. Look for those people. You know, one of the things we talked about at the very end of last year, which no one else will remember except me, and that's because I said it, was invite the people or talk to the people who are on the edge of church, on the edge of Christianity, or have stepped away that you know of, have conversations with them. Because they're the easiest ones who actually understand a little bit about church. And you will hear their story of brokenness. And you will hear their story of what it's like. But actually to be a loving, caring voice in that space allows us to be. I'd forgotten that I had pictures to show. Sorry, Gay. If we could have skip to the next. Yeah, that's the first one. Next one, please. So our strategy around this is that of being on a mission together and transforming cities is around the whole city mission. Now, it's really important for us to be linked and connected with city mission. And Franco being in the office is fantastic. He is so good to be around. And so his commissioning service next week, we consider as being just a really important step in that growth of what it means for us to be outreaching into our city so that we end up being a voice in this city that is the voice of God. And you know, sometimes it's a voice that is speaking out loud and sometimes it's a voice that just loves people. And it's not always about speaking the gospel to someone and getting them saved. It's a very important point, but it's also about loving people for loving people because God loves them. And it's that combination. You know, what does God say? He says, first and foremost, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And what does he say then? Go and love your neighbor. So we are called to do both of those things. We are called to love those people around us. Our small groups, every small group, our encouragement over the last couple of years has been that there is a flavor of each of these three things, that you do come in a sense of discipleship, you do come in a sense of community and caring and feeding, and I tell you what, when the young adults come to our place, feeding is very important. We eat well, thank you, Elaine. But actually, I want them to have a flavor of being outward looking as well. So if that means as a group to actually go, actually we want to serve by making meals for those people who need it and put them in the freezer, which one of the groups does regularly, fantastic. If it is about sharing muffins with neighbours, if it is about putting on a barbecue event or inviting people around for a social event to introduce people into the love of God, that at some space, every small group I'm hoping will at some time this year have an involvement with being outward looking. And that's why these are all intersecting circles, is because they all kind of mold and merge into each other. The activities that we do with Messy Church and mainly music are incredible opportunities for us to have people come and see church in a different way. See, I believe that church, the world we live in is very different than it was 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And I don't believe that it's any longer the only way to get people to come to follow Jesus by inviting them to a church service. It used to work really, really well. You could invite someone to a church service, they would come and they would find Jesus. Obviously, there's a bit more involved and there's lots of relationship and often going to Alpha is helpful as well and all the rest of it. But I believe that the church is actually being very challenged at this point in time to be church in our community, in our homes, in our workplaces, that there is a flavor that we are going to need to look at and to change in the way we look at. And I used my story about when I went to the beach and I saw the guy with the drone and he was fishing with the drone. I was so fascinated by that. And then there was another guy who went fishing with his torpedo thing. I don't know what it's called. Yeah, one of them. And I felt like the Holy Spirit say, see, we need to fish differently. Because me, I would have surf cast. It's the only way I know. And I do believe that we need to think about how we fish differently as we try to reach the nation for Jesus, as we try to reach our city, as we try to reach our friends. We have other things that we do specifically at All Saints as part of our strategy, and we have Alpha, multiple Alpha kind of events. Alpha marriage, Alpha pre-marriage, Alpha itself, Alpha prayer. They are fantastic opportunities, again, to invite them not to church, but to a discussion, to a life conversation, to hear stories. to hear the gospel of Jesus in a way that's palatable. Some of the stuff that Davis is doing and the team with youth and the new initiative around launch and trying to involve and grow young people. As part of our DIO strategy, but also for us, is considering what does it mean to congregation plant, to church plant, to, you know, the reality is last week this place was, this room was completely full. And you get to a stage in a room where you don't grow any further because there's no room. And it's just one of those things. So we need to seriously consider, it's one of the conversations I'll be having with Chris. It's like, what is our strategy? What do we feel like God is saying for us to do? Does that mean that six couples go and plant a family service at St. Oswald's and do it on a Friday night or a Saturday afternoon or a Thursday evening or whatever? Does it mean that we plant a church in Kelvin Grove? Does it mean that we do something completely different that will, yes, it will cause a sense of tearing and pain for some of us? But if we're to grow, we're going to need to think about what it is that we do to make sure that the kingdom of God is increasing. We've got things around the conversation around church planting, around social justice. But I think the danger is that everyone constantly waits for a leader to say, this is what we're going to do next. And everyone goes, oh yes, I can do that. Or someone says, there is enough wisdom in this room. There is enough knowing of Jesus in this room to say, this is what God has put on my heart. Let's have that conversation. I've felt for a number of years that there are seeds that are sitting in people that are dormant, that are about to be awakened again out of the passion that God has given you. Because often it's around that passion that God gives you to say, I feel like I want to do this. If that's you, let's have that conversation. I want to hear what it is that God has put in you. And it may seem really small to you or it may seem massive to you, but actually that's what Davis has done. And there's been this seed that's awakened in him around the youth and the young people of our city, around Pacifica and or what that looks like. And so it's kind of growing in the space. I want to hear those conversations of what God is saying to you. What is Jesus asking of me? What does it mean for us? As I was walking on the beach as I came back from holiday, if I could have the next picture, please, I had an image in my mind around the sense of increase and growth. And I quite like watching, medical dramas, and I was going to get this picture of somebody, if you don't like squeam, just put your fingers in your ears, when they clamp back and they stretch out and they see this heart in the middle of the body and they're digging away at it and cutting, and oh, it's great. I remember when I was in hospital once, I'd punctured my lung and they had to drag the tube out. And I was like, oh, can I watch this? And they said, no, you don't want to see this. You don't want to see it. I says, yeah, I really do. As they dragged this tube out of me. They were going to put me under a general anaesthetic. I was only a young person at the time. But I was quite glad when they didn't, because I could watch what was going on. And it was only a tube pulling out of your body. It wasn't anything too drastic. It was quite fun. Anyway, moving on. But you see, about an enlarged heart, it's either pathological or it's physiological. Big words, eh? I had to sort them out myself. But physiological is like when it's kind of in within the normal range. And it's like an athlete. So when you train and train and train, then correct me if I'm wrong, Claire, but the heart has the ability to actually grow and have more capacity to pump more blood so that you can do more exercise. If it's pathological, then there's probably something wrong and you're going to die. And there are reasons for that. I'm not talking about that one, okay? I'm talking about us being athletes. Talks about us being in the race. Talks about us in Scripture about actually running for the goal. And I believe what God wants to do this year is he wants to increase our heart in a good sense, so that we have more capacity for the broken. We have more capacity to reach those outside ourselves. We have more capacity to do the things that God is calling us to do, because I believe he gives us the ability to do everything that we can. So there's this whole thing, next slide please, this whole thing in the scripture around the growth and increasing of the kingdom of God. And part of that is that story around the mustard seed. Next slide. So a tiny mustard seed, but it grows to a tree. And there's this inherent kind of right throughout the whole of New Testament and Old. It talks around this growth, around the starting from something small and growing. And I believe that's what God is wanting to do for us. Next slide. So one of the things that I feel like it's really important for us to look at is, let's look at the low-hanging fruit. What are the things that are right in front of us, in front of you, in front of me? Who are the people that are closest to us that we can start talking to? What are the opportunities that God has put right in front of us? And I've talked about one of those with those people who we know who are quite on the edge of church but are close. But it's one of the things, and I need to put this online, we received a video from Chris Dodds as part of his acknowledgement of coming here. And one of the things he mentioned in it was, who are we praying for? Are there 3, 4, or 5 people that we're actually starting to pray for? And even though we may see no sign of movement, who are the people we are praying for? Who are the people we are bringing before God to say, we want to see these people come to know Jesus, be full of the love of God? So who are we praying? Who are we bringing to God? Who are those people that we're on mission for? And some people are better at it than others. Who are the people that we have offered to pray for? Because when we start praying, there's new growth. Next slide. When we start praying and offering things to Jesus, he's the one who does the growing. He's the one who builds his church. He's the one who brings the transformation. I can't do it. You can't do it. You can't bring transformation to people's lives. You could smile and make them feel better. But he's the one who brings a transformation of life. He's the one who breathes life into us. Sorry, I better stop. Let us pray. Lord, would you increase our heart? Would you increase our heart for the lost, the last, the least, the lonely? Would you give us eyes to see? Would you give us something of your heartbeat for the poor, the lonely, the broken, the misunderstood, the forgotten, the sick? Would you breathe in us again? Would you allow us to see something of your heartbeat? Would you allow us to see our world as you see us, not with the eyes of fear that we are so often and so readily? Would you increase our compassion for those around us? Would you give us the courage to have those God conversations? Would you increase our awareness of those who are searching for truth? And God, would you give us opportunities for us to speak and to be your word and your love in each of those situations? Would you help us because we need your help? Holy Spirit, would you fill us so that we could be full of you as we go and be on a mission together? And we pray. We pray for our city. We pray that the city of Palmerston North would be touched by the transformation of God's love. We pray for our city. We pray for Franco in his role as city missionary as he talks around lots of different things that go. Would you come and would you give him favor? As we work with young people across the city, would you allow them to capture something of the love of God that their lives would be transformed? Would you allow us to be a voice and an action unto the poor and the destitute? Would you help us be a voice in our spaces? We want to see your name high and lifted up. We want the name of Jesus on people's lips for the right reason. So, Lord, we would say, will you hear our prayer? Will you help us? Will you grow us? Will you allow us to be the people of God we are called to be in every space that we are in? But also for us as a church family, that we would inhabit the very space that you have for us in the city. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand. Andrew talked about us being transformed by just simply knowing Jesus, just in this time. If you're feeling, I guess, if you're feeling distant, or you're like, man, I want to experience the life of the freedom and the life that is following Jesus. As we sing this song, I just ask you just to let this be your prayer. Welcome His Holy Spirit back into your life and say, Lord, have your way with me. a beautiful name it is, and nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You were the one at the beginning, one with God, the Lord, my Son. You hid in glory. You hid in glory in creation, and now revealed in you, our hearts. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. So Jesus, you bought it. Can separate us now. What a beautiful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name.
So last night, I got to attend Renee's brother's 40th birthday. And yes, I am that old, that young. We've been praying for Renee's brother for a very long time, Renee and I. And I was just sparked by what Andrew shared about prayer, the power of prayer. And then yesterday, we were sitting there and we're just yarning, and it's about 30, 40 people there in this party. They're all dressed in white because it was a white theme party. And in the middle of amongst the noise, the older brother just started crying. And I kind of said, "Are you right?" And he goes, "Oh, let's go behind the tent because they have this big marquee." And he just said to me, "Davis, I've been looking in all the wrong places." And at that moment, he had a Holy Spirit moment right there. In the most odd and strangest of places, I just want to encourage you that there are people longing to hear the Word of God, to really feel the love of Jesus. And the first thing he said to me was that I kept thinking about when I first said those words that I dedicated my life to Jesus in early 80s. And I was kind of going, wow, I just said nothing. I just said, "Look, I'll pray for you. I'll just continue to uphold you." So I just want to encourage you today that your prayers, there have been people praying for you and they have been for me, that actually every time we gather, every time we pray, every time we uplift, every time we speak, that at any time you could be in the right place at the right time, just where God has placed you. So it's never too late. If you yourself are feeling like you require prayer, please don't hesitate. As we finish the service, we ask that you'll just gently come up. And if not, I'm going to pray a prayer for us right now. Is that okay? Heavenly Father, thank you that there is no one else like you. thank you that you chose us and you call us your children. Thank you that you welcome us into your home. And Lord, you call us to welcome others into your home too. Lord, if we ourselves are feeling a bit broken, a bit down, may you remind us how you sent your Son to guide us home, back to you. So as Andrew shared this morning, Lord, let us be a community with common unity in you, Jesus, to share your word and to live your word deep in our hearts and to those around us, our neighbors, our family, our workplaces, even our own family, our children, our kids, our wives, our husbands, our aunties, our uncles. Guide us, lead us by your Spirit. In your mighty and wonderful name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Can we have our blessing? So that go now to love and serve the Lord. Go in peace. Amen. We go in the name of Christ. Have an amazing Sabbath, everyone. And continue to have these discussions. We've got cups of teas. Feel free to hang around. Feel free to pray for each other if needed. Bless you.
Mm-hmm.